Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tim Hardin.
The lady came from Baltimore and all she wore was lace. She never knew that I was poor, she never saw my place. I was there to steal her money, to take her rings and run. Then I fell in love with a lady and got away with none.
Lady's name was Susan Moore, her daddy read the law. Didn't know that he was poor and lived outside the law. Daddy said he was a thief and didn't marry her for love. But he was Susan's true belief, married her for love.
I was there to steal her money, to take her rings and run. Then I fell in love with a lady and got away with none. The house they lived in had a wall to keep the robbers out. They never stopped to think at all, but that's what I was about. I was there to steal her money, take her rings and run. Then I fell in love with a lady, got away with none. Then I fell in love.
Tim Hardin was born in Eugene, Oregon on December 23, 1941. His parents, Molly and Hal, were both musicians. His mother had once had a career in classical music and his father played bass. Tim had known from the outset that he wasn't like the rest of the boys in the small lumber town. He wanted to act and sing, but when he eventually left Eugene, it was to join the Marines. He had no great interest in school, and he dropped out without graduating at the age of 18. Choosing to enlist. He would later claim that he'd served in Vietnam, though it may have actually been Cambodia or Laos. He spent 2 years in the Marines, then returned to Eugene, but not for long. A letter from his high school drama teacher secured him a place at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York City, and so there he went in 1961. A quote from Tim Hardin: "When I started, I was a terrible guitar player. 6 months after I started, I was broke, so I gave lessons to college kids to make money. There are now an awful lot of very bad young guitar players around America as a result. Because of this, I started out writing my own material because I wasn't good enough to cope with anyone else's involved arrangements. That's why my songs are simple." Already addicted to heroin, a habit he picked up with the Marines overseas, Tim Hardin gravitated towards the thriving Greenwich Village folk scene. What set him apart from his contemporaries was his rich voice and his sorrowful, hypnotic original songs. He was dismissed from the Academy of Dramatic Arts after skipping too many classes, and he reemerged in Boston around 1963. It was there that he received a call from Eric Jacobson, who invited him back to New York to work on some songs. When Tim arrived in New York and met up with Eric, the first words out of his mouth, according to Jacobson, were, quote, "Do you know where I can get any shit?" It was a while before Eric figured out that Tim had been using opiate drugs since the mid-50s. Like anyone who heard Tim Hardin sing, Eric Jacobson was stunned by his bluesy, sensual voice, so different from many of the folkies in the village. "All you've got to do is listen to a couple of his songs," Jacobson said. He could not sing a bad note. Equally impressed was John Sebastian, who lived across the street from Jacobson and overheard a cheap demo that he had made with Hardin. John came in and said, "Who the heck is that?" Jacobson said. Sebastian, who would soon be fronting his own band, The Lovin' Spoonful, proclaimed Tim Hardin the next Elvis. Tim moved into an apartment in Greenwich Village and, with the help of Jacobson, gained an audition at Columbia Records. He was still on heroin and heavily into marijuana, and the resulting demo sessions were a nightmare. Columbia passed. "From the start, he was not Mr. Dependability," said Jacobson. whose initial efforts to place Harden with a label came to nothing. He would drift in late, and sometimes turn in a great set, and sometimes fall asleep on stage. I took it upon myself to try and be his manager. I booked gigs for him, including a 3-day gig in Chicago, where he conned the guy into loaning him money to buy 3 suits, and instead went into his hotel room and shot up for 3 days straight. Tim Harden was loved by critics and admired by his peers, but extreme stage fright and heroin made him an unreliable live performer. He canceled or skipped shows, and when he did show up for a gig, he was often in no condition to perform. Eventually, Tim was placed with the partnership of Koppelman and Don Rubin, who at the time were working with Love and Spoonful. They found a home for Tim on the Verve record label, a division of MGM, and Tim's first single, How Can We Hang On to a Dream, came out in February of 1966.
What can I say? She's a walking away from what we've seen. What can I do? Still loving you, it's all a dream. How can we hang on to a dream? How can it really be the way it seems? What can I do? She's just saying we're through with how it was. What will I try? I still don't see why she says what she does. How can we hang on to a dream? How can it really be the way it seems? What can I say? She's walking away from what we've seen. What can I do? Still loving you, it's all a dream. How can we hang on to a dream? How can it really be the way it seems? How can we hang on to a dream?
Tim Harden's first album with Verve, Tim Harden 1, came out in the summer of 1966, and the album included the instant classic Reason to Believe, later covered by Rod Stewart.
If I listened long enough to you, I'd find a way to believe that it's all true. Knowing that you lie straight-faced while I cry, still I'd look to find a reason to believe. Someone like you makes it hard to live without somebody else. Someone like you makes it easy to give. Never think of myself. If I gave you time to change my mind, I'd find a way to leave the past behind. Knowing that you lied straight-faced while I cried, still I'd look to find a reason to believe. If I listened long enough to you, I'd find a way to believe it's all true. Knowing that you lie straight-faced while I cry,
Still I'd look to find a reason to believe.
By the time his first record came out, Tim Hardin was married and living in Los Angeles. His son Damien was born on February 28, 1967. Using a studio set up in his house, Tim Hardin recorded tracks for his second album and sent the tapes back to New York. That second album, Tim Hardin 2, came out in 1967 and included Tim's own version of his song, If I Were a Carpenter, which had already been a top 10 hit for Bobby Darin the previous year.
I said, I don't give a damn what you got. I'm gonna record it. They whipped out this piece of paper. I thought it was sheet music, no? Got all excited, cleared my throat, looked at it, said, we have just bought this building. And you're evicted. But before they threw me out, they did give me this lovely Tim Hardin song. Bobby, please.
If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? If a tinker were my trade, would you still find me carrying the pots I made? Following behind me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Save my love through loneliness. Save my love through sorrows. I've given you my loneliness. Give me your tomorrow. If I work my hands in wood, would you still love me? Answer me, babe, yes I would. I would put you above me. If I were a miller at a mill wheel grinding, would you miss your color box? Little girl, you're soft, sweet shoe shining. If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? Would you marry me anyway and have my baby?
Supposedly, upon hearing Bobby Darin's version of the song for the first time, Tim Hardin promptly stopped his car, got out, and started stamping on the ground in rage. Hardin failed to capitalize on the notoriety that came with Bobby Darin having a hit with his song. He didn't tour to promote his second album. If he had toured, he could have possibly built up a fan base. Instead, one of the most talented singer-songwriters of his generation was on a pattern of self-destruction. Let's hear a couple more songs from Tim Hardin's second album. We're going to hear Red Balloon and It's Hard to Believe in Love for Long.
Bought myself a red balloon and got a blue surprise. Hidden in the red balloon, pinning of my eyes, took a love light from my eyes. to know. But will we see one another again? Oh my, I hope so. Played with toys for children. As a child I got, I haven't any time for children, although I've got a lot. I took a love light from my eyes, blue, blue surprise. Bought myself a red balloon and got a blue surprise hidden in the red balloon, the beginning of my eyes. I took a love light from my eyes, blue, blue surprise. Hard on how I feel. I feel I'm talking to myself when I say what I mean more than once. The perfect word sounded wrong. It's the way that she won't listen to how I paint the scene. Makes it hard to believe in love for long. Every fraction of the way does more to make my doubts seem real. Every day to every day was much too hard on how I feel. I feel I'm talking to myself when I say what I mean more than once. Perfect words sounded wrong. It's the way that she won't listen to how I paint the scene. Makes it hard to believe in love for long. Every fraction of the way does more to make my doubts seem real. Every day, every day was much too hard on how I feel.
Hardin ended up living in Hawaii for a while, then San Francisco, then back to Los Angeles, then Colorado, where he supposedly raised horses. Eric Jacobson finally gave up on him, and it was only after Steve Paul, his new manager, financed a band of jazz musicians to work with him on a live album that things came together, and an album resulted, 1968's Tim Hardin III, recorded live at New York's Town Hall. Recording Tim Hardin live was a gamble, but fortunately it paid off. Let's hear the live version of a song called Black Sheep Boy.
Here I am back home again. I'm here to rest. All they ask is where I've been, knowing I've been west.
I'm the family's unknown boy, golden curls of envied hair, pretty girls with faces fair, see the shine in the black sheep boy. If you love me, let me live in peace. Please understand that the black sheep can wear the golden fleece and hold a winning hand. I'm a family's unknown boy, golden curls of envied hair, pretty girls with faces fair, see the shine in the black sheep boy.
Tim Hardin was often uncomfortable in social situations, given to extreme melancholy, unable to interact. "People understand me through my songs," he said. "It is my only way to communicate." A subsequent tour of Britain had to be cancelled, the blame for this being placed on pleurisy, and shortly after, his contract with Verve Records was terminated. In early 1969, Tim Hardin signed a new deal with Columbia Records and released a single, his version of a Bobby Darin song, called Simple Song of Freedom. Ironically, this would be Tim Hardin's only charting single. So Tim Hardin's two biggest hits were a Bobby Darin version of his song and him doing a Bobby Darin song.
Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. Let it fill the air. Tell the people it and everywhere. We the people here don't want war. Hey there, Mr. Black Man, can you hear me? I don't want your diamonds or your game. I just want to be someone known to you as me. And I will bet my life you want the same. Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you never sung before. Let it fill the air. Tell people everywhere. We the people here don't want war. 700 million, are you listening? Most of what you read, most of what you read is made of lies. Speaking one to one, ain't it everybody's son? So wait till in the morning when we arrive.
No doubt some folks enjoy doing battle, like presidents, prime minister, and king. So let us build them shells so they might fight among themselves, and leave us be who those who want to sing. Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you never sung before. Let it fill the air, tell the people everywhere. We, the people here, don't want war.
Verve Records released the best of Tim Hardin later that year to cash in as much as they could. Meanwhile, Tim Hardin had been sent to Nashville to record his debut album for Columbia, but none of the resulting material was deemed acceptable and remained unreleased until 1996, when some of the songs were included on a compilation called Simple Songs of Freedom. It was actually good. Check out a song from those sessions called Playing Cards / The Magician.
The magician and his servant boy are looking for a home, now that they have found themselves and aren't alive alone. Miracles must soon be done, the lovers are confused. The hermit won't love anyone for fear. Comical distortions fill the house, that's free sin. Magic wands and weapons together in a room. No one but the emperor has a box seat in the room. What was this wheelless chariot? It was a station. His cups are overflowing, while his wife must dream of sex. He knows she dreams, and all he knows, someone else is next. Unfaithful to the faithful fools, the moon decides to show itself in time to turn and run before night. Terror, temperance, fits of temper, jingle bells and sins, rum and coke with ice and lime is all I'm taking in. And a fellow with famine will get the one to know. Magicians will remind all the magic's done at home.
Tim Hardin's next attempt at a record was a series of unconventional songs and spoken word material, recorded at his home. He was now living in Woodstock, New York. He arranged for recording equipment to be placed in a spare bedroom at the house, brought in a variety of local musicians, and recorded the album over a period of a couple weeks. Tim seemed very happy and comfortable during this period. Although rather hyper, he was in a good frame of mind. The resulting album, Sweet for Susan Moore and Damien, was Hardin's odd attempt to celebrate his life with his wife and son. Let's hear something from that record. This is called Once Touched by Flame.
Daily does the light grow stronger? Do the undone, leaving one, and now that I live, only to live much longer. Gone the pain by growing dim. She says she loves him, and they are face to face in love. Now my past and the last sweet dreams are true. So real I feel like I'm redeemed. Take my place, once touched by a flame, my name is love. Satisfied to live with only me inside. My woman gave me back my pride, and now my heart and mind are one with Susan and Damien.
Speaking of Woodstock, one of Tim Hardin's biggest chances for international recognition came when he was asked to play the Woodstock Festival in August. The festival was originally planned as a 2-day event, but in the later stages this was increased to 3 days, with the addition of a number of acoustic acts on Friday evening. Tim Hardin was supposed to play first on Friday, but fear of facing the audience without the support of Chemicals led him to being in no state to go on. So Richie Havens was bumped up to become the first act on. Although clearly stoned, Tim Hardin did perform later on Friday, but nothing of his performance made it into the original Woodstock film. Woodstock promoter Michael Lang had hoped that Woodstock would represent a comeback for Tim Hardin, but he found it difficult just to get him to go out on stage. Hardin got drunk instead. He wasn't exactly in the best shape by the time he walked out at around 9 p.m., He walked over to the piano and tentatively picked out the first notes of How Can We Hang On to a Dream, a popular song from his first album. His vocals slurred a bit. The pace was meandering. But slowly he managed to draw the crowd in. He walked to the front of the stage, grabbed an acoustic guitar, but then read a poem dedicated to his wife. Enthusiastic applause greeted If I Were a Carpenter. But throughout the performance, Hardin swayed unsteadily, even bumping into the microphone a few times. This song was followed by another acoustic song, Reason to Believe. Without fanfare, a backing band was then brought out on stage for the remainder of the set. This portion of the set started well enough with a performance of You Upset the Grace of Living When You Lie. The band gelled reasonably well, so it must have seemed to Hardin like the exact right time to throw everything off course. He walked back over to the piano, removed a piece of paper from his pocket, and announced to the band that they were playing Snow White Lady. Unfortunately, this song, based on a poem about heroin written by his wife, was completely unknown to the band. Harden chanted the poem, looking for anything resembling a melody. The band flopped around, attempting to make something out of nothing. It was a moment that the musicians would remember as one of total embarrassment.
This is a song called Snow White Lady. More witch black white than snow. You said before we met that your life was mighty tame. Oh, when I finally took you to a nightclub, you know the whole old band knew your name. Oh, baby, it don't quite match up. Look a bit wrong.
But by this time the audience had been won over, and was surprisingly forgiving. The set got back on track for a loose rendition of Blues on the Ceiling, and Harden got a major ovation with his closing tune, Simple Song of Freedom. The group was called back for an encore, but was cut off by John Morris, who took the stage to warn the crowd about some flat blue tabs of LSD being distributed among the crowd.
All right. Everybody, please. Please, I am informed that somebody somewhere is giving out some flat blue acid. It is poison. That's deadly serious, man. I just informed we got 4 or 5 people who are a little sick from it. 15. Be cool. And whoever you are, man, I'd love to find you. I hate to belabor the point, but I will say it again in case nobody heard me the first time. There is someone giving out some flat blue acid. It is poison. There are 15 people who are very ill from it. If anybody tries to give you any, you do it.
This was a bad call on several levels. Those who had taken the flat blue acid were now being told that they had been poisoned, and the threat of violence went against the spirit of the event. Harden attempted to placate the audience with a beautifully subtle rendition of his song Misty Roses.
Would you mind Misty Roses?
Okay. You look to me like misty roses. Too soft to touch, but too lovely to leave alone. If I could be like misty roses, I'd love you much. You're too lovely not to try. Flowers often cry, but too late to find that their beauty has been lost with their peace of mind. You look to me like love forever. Too good for that, but too lovely, too lovely to leave alone. If I believe in love forever, I'd forget the past. You're too lovely not to try. If I believed in love forever, I'd forget the past. You're too lovely to leave alone. Flowers often cry, but too late to find that their beauty been lost with their peace of mind.
Later in 1969, Tim Hardin traveled to England to take what was then known as the sleep cure for heroin addiction. This involved the use of barbiturates to get over the initial withdrawal stage. Sadly, Tim Hardin emerged from this cure addicted to barbiturates. His wife left him soon after, taking their son Damien with her to Los Angeles. For Tim Hardin's second Columbia release, producer Ed Freeman had most of the backing tracks recorded in advance. Hardin just had to show up at the studio and perform his vocals. Only half the songs on the album were written by Tim Hardin. The record, Bird on a Wire, came out in June of 1971. It did not sell well. Let's hear a song from it. This is Tim Hardin's version of a traditional song called Moonshiner.
I've been a moonshiner for many long years, and I spent all the money I earned on clear and white and whiskey and beer. I'll go to the grocery, have a drink with a friend, with no one to follow me, keeping track of where I've been. Where have I been? God bless those pretty women, they're all good friends of mine. Is as sweet as dew on the vine, cornbread when I'm hungry, corn liquor when I'm dry, if whiskey don't kill me now,
Shortly after the release of Bird on a Wire, Tim Hardin up and moved to England, where he registered as an addict so he could get free methadone. He made one last record for Columbia, Painted Head, produced by Tony Meehan and engineered and mixed by Beatles engineer Jeff Emmerich. The album contained no original songs. Let's hear Tim doing a Randy Newman song from that record. This is called I'll Be Home.
I'll be home. home. I'll be home. Wherever you may wander, and wherever you may be wrong, you come back.
Columbia Records dropped Tim Hardin soon after Painted Head came out in 1972. At this point, Tim Hardin signed to another label, GM Records. GM was owned by Billy Gaff, Rod Stewart's manager, and this new record deal was probably just a kindly act of repayment for the success that Rod had had with Tim's song Reason to Believe. The album that Tim Hardin ended up recording for GM came to be called Nine. Nine was not released in the US until 1976. The album opens with a great version of a Richie Havens song called Shiloh Town, a song that Tim Hardin had previously tried to record in Nashville in 1968.
It is so cold in Shiloh Town, birds can't hardly sing, good men have left the town. They won't be back till spring. I'll sing hallelujah, you'll sing hallelujah, we'll all sing hallelujah. When they arrive at home, sun is blazing hot today. Now it's time to mow the hay. No one's home to do hard chores. They still are still fighting the war. War's been won, but who has lost? Was the heartbreak worth the cost? Men are sick and walking home, back to partners left alone. So cold in Shiloh Town, birds can't hardly sing, the good men have left the town. They won't be back till spring. I'll sing hallelujah, you'll sing hallelujah,
all sing hallelujah. When they arrive at home,
while he was living in London, Tim Hardin and his wife Susan had a brief reconciliation, but his drug abuse and drinking were beyond any tolerable level. He lost her again, and he lost his songs, too, by signing away his copyrights. His son Damien remembers witnessing him signing away the rights to his songs for a briefcase full of money. Not a good plan for a heroin addict. Tim Hardin then teamed up with another American, Tim Rose, who was living in London. The pair did some touring together, about a dozen gigs, but the project was unsuccessful, again due to Tim's drug dependency. Tim Rose merely remembers this as a difficult time. By 1976, Tim Hardin was back in the States, living in Seattle. There, he managed to clean himself up, steering clear of drugs and booze. But then he moved down to Los Angeles, to be nearer to his ex-wife and his son Damien. His Hollywood apartment was just a short distance from Damien's school. Hardin had put on weight and lost his hair, but his voice was still strong. It was while he was in L.A. that Phil Freeman, an old school friend, met up with him and persuaded him to take a trip back to Eugene, Oregon, where Tim Hardin was born and raised, the idea being to make a documentary for television, for Tim Hardin to perform a homecoming concert in Eugene, Oregon. And he did, in January of 1980. The concert was sloppy and uncomfortable at times, but also, in a sad way, for Tim Hardin, it was triumphant.
Okay. The lady came from Baltimore, and all she wore was lace. She never knew that I was poor. She never saw my place. I was there to steal her money, or take her rings and run. But then I fell in love with a lady and got away with none. The house they lived in had a wall to keep the robbers out. They never stopped to think at all, but that's what I was about. I was there to steal her money, to take her rings and run. And then I fell in love with a lady and got away with none. The lady's name was Susan Moore. Her daddy read the law. They never knew I was so poor. I lived outside the law. Her daddy said I was a thief and never married her for love. But I was Susan's true belief and I married her for love. I was there to steal her money, to take her rings and run. And then I fell in love with a lady and got away with none. The lady came from Baltimore, all she wore was lace. She never knew that I was poor. She never saw my place. I was there to steal her money, take her rings and run. And then I fell in love with a lady and got away with none. But
the triumph was short-lived. Back in L.A., Tim Hardin found himself back on heroin, the drug that had wrecked his life. His ex-wife Susan, beyond fed up, wanted nothing to do with him. He started using threats of suicide as a way of trying to force her to meet up with him. And so, she took their son Damien, and she moved away, yet again. And yet Tim Hardin was still working on songs, still hoping to record another album, when he died in Los Angeles on Monday, December 29th, 1980, 6 days after his 39th birthday, just 3 weeks after the murder of John Lennon and the overdose of Darby Crash, who died just a 10-minute walk away from where Tim Hardin lived and died. It was a mixture of heroin and morphine that killed Tim Hardin. At the time of his death, Tim Hardin owed the IRS $500,000. Less than a year before he died, in a video made by his friend Phil Freeman, Tim Hardin claimed that he had earned $22 million in his life, but he was left with nothing. Although he was clean from heroin at the time the video was made, he was not enjoying the withdrawal. He spoke fondly of the pleasure he derived from heroin, but he also stressed that he would never encourage anyone else to take up the habit.
I have wished upon a star, morning star, night time's dawn, evening steaming railroad car, open door to windy stars, cold and curled up in, are in a race to the morning. Is the sun too much to see? Each of us will always be wondering all these things. Coming up, the sun is lonely too. Warm is fire, the storm desires my heart. Mercy in the wind is hidden from such men who try again. Surrendering's all we do.
And now to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
Let's hear one of those last songs that Tim Hardin was working on, recorded in 1980. This is called Unforgiven.
Thank you.
your mind.